Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program on Sunday, every Sunday, 7:05, following Tim's forecast, and then around the world at WHLC.com. Before we get into the heavy stuff, how was the 5K run? How did you do? It's wonderful weather. Absolutely great stuff for the Saturday run.
It was a great day for racing and just getting out, having fun. I want to always give out a shout out to my friend Derek Taylor, who puts on a great race. I was at the Highlands Rotary Club this past week and did a happy dollar. Actually, I did two happy dollars. One was for Derek. Also run with Derek. We go to different races all over Georgia and North Carolina. Derek's always comparing notes, looking at how the races are put on and compares it to what he does. And, you know, I made the statement, I really appreciate Derek's work in organizing this. And actually, he puts on the best race. I think we have the best organized 5K, any of them in this area. Derek has said without that volunteer group, it would be almost impossible to put on the race because there's a volunteer, a Rotarian in an orange jacket at every intersection to make sure that people like me running do not get run over by a car.
Recording this on Friday, of course, playing back now on Sunday morning. To then the Thursday meeting, you had a closed session with your lawyers and recap short-term rentals. This is, we're getting close to the end here.
I don't know what the exact timetable is at this time, Steve, but let me go over what we covered at the town board related to short-term rentals. One, I presented the procedures for conducting the public hearing, which will be this coming Thursday, August the 25th, and it will start at 5 o'clock at the community center next to the ball field. You can sign up as you come into the hearing. You'll have 3 minutes to speak. One thing that we added to the procedures at the suggestion of Commissioner Patterson is that we're going to ask where you live and where's your residence. I think that's some background information that the board would like to know. Anyone can speak on the recommendations that the planning board sent to the town board or the proposals that the town board sent to the planning board that they did not approve. There's also an option. You can go to our town website and find these procedures. You can send written comments to our town clerk. Her email address is in those procedures, Gibby Shaheen, and she will take those written comments and distribute them to the board members, and they'll be a part of the hearing record also. We're asking that you keep your written comments to 500 words or less. That kind of parallels the 3 minutes of oral comments that can be made. One of the things I want to emphasize, and the board agrees, we will take no formal action after that hearing. But we have scheduled another public meeting, and that's going to be on August the 30th. That would be the following Tuesday. It will start at 6 o'clock at the community center. And it's going to be, if you will, a town board work session. As we discussed, if there is more time that needs to be taken to clarify, edit, to improve the amendments, then we will take time to do even another meeting before we take final action. We don't want to rush through the process of adopting a new ordinance.
Before we get to what you talked about, the sidewalk plans on Chestnut, etc., this is big news, exciting $3.3 million grant from the state of North Carolina. That's going to take care of water lines, etc.
We knew we were going to get the grant. We're still waiting for the official letter. We've gotten feedback from, for example, Representative Gillespie's office saying we've gotten emails saying, yes, you've been approved to receive this grant. So we're very excited about it. And one of the things that we knew we had to take action was to replace the aging 2-inch galvanized water lines that had been installed in neighborhoods, some of them 50 years ago, 40 or 30 years ago. A number of years ago, we developed a program to start replacing them. The first one was Satula Falls. Then we replaced the aging 2-inch line at Split Rail, and that almost cost $1 million. The benefit of replacing these lines was that we were able to put in 6-inch ductile iron water lines, which allows us to put fire hydrants in it and improve the fire protection of those communities. Same thing happened when we replaced the waterline at Buena Vista. We received ARP funds to replace the waterline on Moorwood, and that project was just done several months ago. So we've that program in place. The big bear in the room was the Dog Mountain system, which is pretty extensive. It also had an aging small water tank at the top of Dog Mountain that was failing and needed to be replaced. With all of the new federal money and state money for infrastructure improvements, we consulted with Withers Ravenel, an engineering firm. Last year, we developed a complete grant with preliminary drawings and so forth for two projects. One was the Dog Mountain project, and then we have another big water infrastructure need, and that is to replace the pre-clarifier tank at the water department. It will not last forever. It's at the end of its functional life. So we also developed a grant proposal for that to the tune of about $3 million. The Dog Mountain project got approved, so we're getting that. And the water clarifier tank project was denied. We're delighted to get that $3.3 million because that helps us just move up the list on improving our water system and other infrastructure needs. We haven't given up on the pre-clarifier tank. That will be resubmitted this fall. Hopefully, it'll do better on the scoring, and we'll get total funding, partial funding, or what they call a revolving loan, where we get the money at no interest rate from the state to do the project.
You also talked a lot about projects that you want to get done. You know, just the main thing we're talking about, short-term rentals, but there was a lot of talk about sidewalks and construction.
One is sidewalks. I was just talking to someone this week about walking on Chestnut, and the board's already talked about updating our sidewalk plan that we have in place. And one of the things that we want on the master sidewalk plan is to put in a sidewalk going up Chestnut up toward the biological station. We're trying to create a sidewalk system where we have kind of a loop and a network around the central part of the town. Other thing that I was noticing, a lot of people walk down 6th Street also. We're doing the same thing on 1st Street, where a sidewalk will be placed on 1st Street to create the loop on the west side of the town. Get feedback that people say, oh, the mayor just needs to build sidewalks on 106 and 64. My response is not so simple. The mayor just doesn't arbitrarily say, oh, let's just build a sidewalk. We have looked at building sidewalks there. Those are DOT roads. We have even looked at trying to get resources from DOT. It's on our sidewalk and plan. We are looking at, could the town fund part of it, or could there be some private funds that would bring about those kind of sidewalks which are needed? We live not in just a flat, simple terrain. We have drop-off and mountainous terrain. So to put in sidewalks in those areas would require building huge retaining walls where the road just simply drops off. And every time you have to do that, the costs go way up. So we're not talking about just a few hundred thousand dollars. We're talking about probably several million dollars and a lot of engineering. It will take some planning, some investment, and coordination. I was looking at our consent agenda where we have different reports from different departments. For example, the police department with our code enforcement. There was a situation this month where a construction site were burning construction materials, and it was a pretty big fire. Traditionally, contractors who are building have cleared sites and burned the vegetation, tree stumps, tree logs, construction rubble, and everything on the site. This kind of grubbing can go on for days or if not weeks. I think we need to also revisit this whole idea of work, construction work on weekends. When should it be allowed? When should it not? And where should it be allowed? I wanted to look at. The other thing is our recreation committee. I want us to look at two things. One, we were given a donation, a private donation this past year to improve our playground equipment at the rec park. And of course, we would consult with the donor and see what they would like to see done also. And then there's one other thing that I want us to look at. I'm on the Child Care Coalition that has been formed in the community with the faith-based community and our nonprofit groups that serve this critical need, and that is providing access to child care, especially for our workforce. This group is trying to come up with ways to have a comprehensive approach to improving access to child care. I think the town has a role to play in it. That is providing after-school services. We had to tear down the old Houston house where they were taking place because it had just fallen apart. And we need to build a new facility so we can have after-school programs and summer programs for our young people. And I'd like to see our recreation committee start moving that process forward. And then finally, Steve, car charging stations. You know, we talked to the chamber about that. We're researching that issue. We're not dragging our feet, but we're trying to be very cautious and deliberate. What is the best system and how to fund that and where to locate them? From initial research that I reported on, really the movement now is to go toward the rapid car charging systems where somebody can pull in and within 30 minutes have a charge and then they can go. They're more expensive. They're more complicated. But we're looking still at that, how we can bring that about here in the town of Highlands, because we do see the electric vehicle trend continuing to grow, and we need to address that as a community.
You met with the Mirror Lake group. Money coming in. They're trying to raise money. Dredging Mirror Lake. What's the story with
that? That's right. A year ago, Pat Gleason, who's the president of the Mirror Lake Homeowners Association, presented a plan that had been developed by a professional company that specializes in lake dredging. And we were all very impressed that they had a real concrete, specific plan on how to dredge and restore Mirror Lake. I was so enthusiastic that I asked that Pat share that plan with the town board. The homeowners association are moving towards implementing that first phase, and they're beginning to raise money for this project. And I would encourage people to support Pat and the homeowners association by giving generously, even if you don't live on the lake. Mirror Lake is really a tradition, has a great history with the town of Highlands. It's a part of our watershed. It contributes so much to the quality of life here in Highlands. In the meantime, I told the Homeowners Association, I believe we can get state funds to help move this project along. And then also, I will just say, I would be open to the town being a partner in providing support. So I see the way we get Mirror Lake restored is a three-part partnership.
Talking about something becoming a reality, the fire department building, it looks as if things are coming along, getting closer to an open house.
We'll be having a tour. The town board of commissioners would be at that tour. For example, I haven't been through the fire department. It's been a construction site. Once it ceased to be a construction site, I want the town board of commissioners to be able to take a tour with Ryan Gearhart, our fire chief. Also, the news media can be there, or anyone that would like to be a part of the tour can come and see the new fire department. I'm anticipating that taking place in the coming weeks, sometimes probably in September. We'll let everyone know when we're going to have that tour. And then, of course, once everything is moved in, the fire trucks are there and the equipment is set up and everything, we'll, of course, have an official dedication ceremony.
One more thing before we go, if you could you address, is it my imagination or it seems like more 30-foot bed trucks are going up and down the Gorge Road? And I know we cited one, but what's the situation there, the town?
You know, some people think that we do nothing, but actually I was reading the consent agenda reports at the last board meeting. Our code enforcement officer cited that two trucks had been stopped. One truck was issued a fine because they had no business. The other truck that was stopped was not cited because they had permission from the state patrol to be on the Gorge Road. They were delivering heavy equipment to a site on Gold Mine Road, and before they did that, they were given clearance by the state patrol. But we continue to monitor that. We can't stop every truck short of putting a gate and a person there 24/7. Both sides of the road coming up and going down, there will be some trucks, unfortunately, that will not heed the clear signs saying no trailers over 30 feet. That has been an improvement over what we had before. It used to be some kind of vague signs and references, but the state changed it to where it's very clear tractor trailer trucks are not to be on this road.